Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's sing that song that our brother Paul was playing. That's number 150 in the hymn book, When We All Get to Heaven. Reminds me of the quote, living here, living there. How did that work? Talking about heaven. Talks about living there with saints will certainly be glory. Living there with saints above will certainly be glory. Living here with saints below, well, that's another story. Well, okay, 150.
To wait to get to heaven to see Jesus. Hallelujah. And shout the victory. But we can do that right now, right here this morning. God wants to give us a wonderful sight of himself. Oh, and he's so present with us. And so let's acknowledge him. You know, that's the first thing we always do in meeting. We acknowledge that Jesus is here. We think about him. We talk to him. We say, Lord, I've come here to meet with you. That's why this is called a meeting. And not just a service. We come to meet with you, Lord. And you said, where two or three are gathered together in your name, you're there in the midst. And I know that you live in my heart, so I brought you with me too. And so, Lord, here you are, Jesus. We're here to meet you. And as we direct your attention to Jesus like that, and as we sing the songs to him, I like to picture myself all alone with Jesus, singing to him. And it's good to acknowledge each other, and that's one of the joys of being together, that we have this fellowship. And but sometimes it's good to forget about each other and just see Jesus. Praise God. And so, Lord, we want to thank you that you're among us this morning and that you're here to work in us. Lord, open our eyes and give us a great and clearer sight of Jesus. And let the things of earth grow strangely dim. Let them lose their effect upon us. And let the influence of the Holy Spirit be felt very strongly. And then enable us to yield ourselves to your working. Lord, you're so wonderful and you're doing such wonderful things. And we want to praise you for that. Lord, we thank you for the inner changes that you're making within us. Our outward circumstances might not change, but inwardly, we're different when Jesus comes. And so, Lord, we just give ourselves to you this morning for another day, and we look forward to all that you have for us. Lord, we know that you are going to give yourself to us. There's no question about that. But the question is, are we going to give ourselves to you? Help us to do it, Lord, we pray. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. There's another song being played, and it's the other side of this coin, and that's, Once Heaven Was a Far Off Place, But Now It's Begun Within My Soul. Hallelujah, yes, 'tis heaven. What is the title of that, Brother Paul, do you remember?
I don't know.
Okay. Where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. I think that's what it's called. Oh, you beat me to it. I even, 1 second more, I would have said 318. Okay. Praise God.
Since Christ my soul from sins have freed.
Praise God. Heaven wouldn't be heaven without Jesus. You know, what's your idea of heaven? What are you looking forward to? Years ago, I watched The Twilight Zone, and a long time ago, but I never forgot this episode. And there was this biker fella. He was in this room with two elderly people, and they were showing movies of their vacations. And they were just, you know, showing one movie after the other, and he couldn't take it anymore. And then he realized that he had had an accident and died, and he went to hell. And he found out where he was. He found out it was hell. And for him to watch home movies for eternity with these two elderly people would be that. But the strange thing was that they were in heaven. That was their heaven, watching their movies for eternity and remembering the good times. You know, we have strange ideas about heaven and hell. But you know, the Bible tells us Jesus is our heaven. And that heaven can begin right here in our hearts. And it's true. We're going to feel very comfortable in heaven if we really learn to love Jesus and to walk with him here. It's just more of the same. Much more of the same. And I'm sure there are new glories that will be that we'll share in heaven that we're not able to do it here on earth just yet. There has to be some changes made in us in order to come into the fullness of what God has for us. But isn't it wonderful that we can live in a sin-cursed world and yet we can be in heaven? Praise God. And we can be kept in the presence of God and in the light of God. And that's so important that we believe God for that and pursue that here. God has to prepare us for heaven, and he does that by giving us some heaven in our heart first. It's always interesting to me that the Lord likes to give us a taste of something, even before we're ready for it. I had mentioned, and Brother Paul had made a reference to this a couple of times, I had mentioned that as a teenager I came to Pilgrim Camp, and the Lord's presence came to me in such a beautiful way. And when I went back home, after a while, I didn't feel the Lord that close like I did at camp. The peace wasn't there like it was, and I felt homesick for camp. I longed for that. And so what I would do is I'd get away, and I'd try to get away and be alone. And I would talk to Jesus, and I'd say, Lord, that was so wonderful at camp. You were so close to me. But I could only go to camp for a week every year. But I'm living here all the rest of the time. Can't I know you like that here? And so the Lord gave me a little taste of something that maybe I wasn't ready to maintain in my life. There were some lessons I had to learn, learn the ways of God, and some consecration that God was looking for in my life. But he gave me a taste, and I was no longer satisfied to live the way I used to live when I knew there was something better. That's what the Lord likes to do for us at camp. He likes to give you a taste of something, to point you in the right direction and to keep you seeking. He likes to strengthen desires within us so that when we go back home, the desires pull us like a magnet to the Lord. And then we make more time for prayer. We get into the Word of God. We're more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And then God brings us into those experiences and then gives us a taste of something even greater. And he just keeps leading us that way. And so I'm so glad that the Lord doesn't wait for me to be ready before he gives me a little taste of heaven. Praise God. Because he knows that if I got a taste of heaven, I would lose my taste for other things. And you know, that's what we're talking about when we say don't love the world. It means love Jesus more. You know, don't concentrate on not loving the world. Concentrate on loving Jesus with all your heart, and you'll lose your taste for the world completely. And so that's why we spend so much time at camp talking about Jesus, loving him, worshiping him, and opening our heart to his working. And so let's do that. God wants us to get out of the world and wants to get the world out of us. But he does that by bringing us into Christ. You come out of the world by coming into a relationship with Christ. If you don't have that relationship with Christ, no matter what changes you make in your life or how strict you try to be, you're still in the world. Because the world is the matter of the heart. We like to think of the world as how you dress and what you wear and where you go. But really, the world is a matter of the heart. And to come out of the world is to come into Christ. And then to keep out of the world is to abide in Christ. We have to learn to walk in God and just stay close to Jesus. And that will keep us from being overcome by the powers of the world. And then to overcome the world is to put our trust in Christ. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We'll talk more about those things, but I want you to remember those three things. Come out of the world means to come close to Jesus, come into a relationship with Christ, and then maintain that relationship with Christ by learning to abide in him. That's the only thing that'll keep you from slipping back into worldly thinking and worldly values and worldly attitudes. And then to overcome the world, we can only do that through the power of the Holy Spirit and trusting in Christ. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. And so let's worship him and open our hearts. Hallelujah. The Lord is here to fill us and give us the grace that we need to stay close to him. Hallelujah. Let's sing Living in Jesus. That's in our white book. That's number 101, Living in Jesus. Some of these songs aren't familiar to everybody, I know, but you'll learn them as we sing them. And let's sing them to the Lord and look for his presence as we do.
Living in Jesus. Lord, let the glory of Jesus outshine
yes.
anything that the world puts before us. Lord, we pray that you'll open our eyes to see the beauty of Christ and of living for him. Your word speaks of the beauty of holiness. When people saw Jesus, they saw a beauty in his holiness. Not the holiness of the Pharisees that was just something on the outside, man-made, but the true holiness, the purity that flowed from the heart of Christ. Lord, help us to love your kingdom, to see that your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Oh God, the world can't compare with that. And so, Lord, we pray, unless you open our eyes, Lord, we won't see it ourselves. But Lord, when we get a sight of you and what it means to let Jesus reign in our lives, we're spoiled. Take the world. Give me Jesus. Lord, let that be our experience while we're here at camp and as we go back home to live our lives in Christ. Amen.
Hallelujah. So the candy reminded me of when I was a kid. Forgive me, it's hard to get up.
Not a kid anymore.
Right. But he reminded me when I was a teenager, maybe 16, on the staff, I had the experience that many of you have, the Lord drew so close, an experience that Brother Ken just described. And for many years I wondered, why can't I have that at home? And Ken, Brother Ken is right, I have mentioned that before. He, many years later, clarified to me, to my satisfaction at least, what that's all about. But I remember distinctly coming home from camp, and I was upstairs in our hall looking out the back window, and my parents had invited some very close friends, actually, Brother John Fraw's grandmother and his family, the Herzogs and the Fraws were there, and they were just in the garden, and, you know, they were good Christian people, and they were just having a good time, and I just couldn't find myself going down and enjoying that with them. For some reason, I was so closeted in God, so to speak. And I'll never forget that. And that's one of those times where I said, why do I feel this way? Why do I want to be alone? Anyway, that was a very critical age for me. And I was very careful to want to please the Lord. And I remember either at camp previously or somehow the Lord had made very clear to me, at least, about my tongue, the importance of speaking only what God would have us speak. And I guess I was a little older than 16 at that time, maybe 18. I had graduated high school already. And I had a job at IBM, and as I said, I really wanted to please the Lord, and particularly with my tongue. I wanted to watch my words. And I remember I had been promoted to a typing pool. I was in the mailroom at IBM. And I had been borrowing my sister's typewriter. In those days, it was not electric. And I typed quite fast with two fingers. And I was in the mail room, and I had my back toward the elevator in that building. And there were windows, so someone waiting for the elevator could look in. And the head of the typing pool upstairs saw me from the back at a typewriter typing a label. And she happened to be in need of typists at that time. So she called down to my boss and she said, I'm in need of typists up here, and you have someone down here that looks like he can type. So, his name was Joe Russo. He says, Monsignor, go up to see Ms. Davis. Anyway, long story short, she put me up there. She gave me a typing test. I think I did 30 words a minute, just hunting and pecking. And so she gave me a job, she transferred me. But she never saw me type. So one day, after I'd been up there a couple of weeks, she passed by, and she starts, she says, "That's how you type?" So I said, yeah. Well, anyway, she put Band-Aids on the keys and a chart, and I had to totally relearn how to type. Anyway, so I was up there in this typing pool, and next to me was a girl that I was quite friendly with, a nice girl, we just colleagues. And one time, as I say, I was trying to be very careful with my tongue. One day, this supervisor passes to go to the ladies' room, and I turn to my friend. I said, "There goes Miss Davis to repair her face, to fix her face, something like that." And as soon as I said that, I said to myself, "Was that pleasing to the Lord?" Well, that was bad enough. Then in my ignorance, I felt I had to apologize to her. So I said, "Miss Davis, I have to talk to you." And I told her what I had said. And she looked at me, she said, "Why did you do that? Why did you say that?" Anyway, they sent me to the company shrink. And he asked me all sorts of questions, you know, and they found out it was quite normal. And he said, "Well, just watch what you say." Something to that effect. But this was it. This is my point. I was ignorant at that time. I should have gone to my colleague and said that. And it was my mom who gently corrected me and said, usually we go to the person, we don't, and she explained the whole thing. My point is how we have to grow in God. We do things ignorantly sometimes as when we're young. But God sees our desire, and that's just the story of the past. But God saw my desire and brought me back to camp year after year, and year after year I would possibly, I thought, lose what I had. Of course, I still followed the Lord. But there was something special about camp. And recently, several young people asked me, "Why is it that camp is so different than at home?" Now, they happen to be children of ministers. And so that came as quite a surprise to me. But I said, "Well," I said, "there are things at camp that are different. First of all, we're totally separated from the world. There are no distractions, unless you choose to use your phone or whatever. But basically, there are no distractions. We're constantly bombarded with the Word of God. We sing at the table, in the dining room. The whole day is centered on God. And that's one thing. And another thing is the amount of faith when people come to Pilgrim Camp. God has proved himself so real in the past years, these 75 years, that people know this. Of course, the camp is prayed through. And I use that word advisedly. That doesn't mean that nothing can go wrong. But it has, so much prayer has gone up for this place. So people come to this camp with faith, believing. And I think even the young people, they recognize what God has done in the past, and they come with faith, whether they realize it or not. And so God has manifested himself in that way. Anyway, so I'm thankful for all God has done these 75 years. He has led us along. Not that we've been perfect, but God has helped us and has forgiven us when we've gone astray, has led us, taught us. And may he continue to do that for every one of us, especially for these young people. How I love our staff, our young people who give themselves to him, give up their jobs perhaps, their vacation, and God sees that and will reward you. But mainly, let us grow in God. Let us grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ when we're here at camp.
Praise God. Amen. Yeah.
Help me to love thee more and more. Help me to praise thee more and more. Live in thy presence day by day. Love thee more and more.
That's in our white book. I will not forget thee. The boathouse lady, one of them, has given me some things to advertise. And one thing is this CD, Pilgrim Camp Sing-Along, celebrating 75 years. There's quite a number of these songs that we're singing on this CD. And they're recordings of camp meetings, and many songs that we have come to know and love here at camp. Some people say to me, I like my church, but they never sing the hymns. Okay, so take the hymns home. Sing them yourself. There's also talks from our various ministers that have been connected with camp over the years, and it'll be a blessing to you. Brother Paul worked very hard to get this together. I can't imagine how many hours he had to put in, because I've tried to listen to this in my car, and I have to do a lot of trips to get through it. So anyway, you'll enjoy that. We've got some books as well. I won't mention all of them this morning. Since we're looking at Love Not the World by Watchman Nee, we have two books by Watchman Nee. One is entitled A Living Sacrifice, and the other is entitled something else. So, just ask for any book by Watchman Nee. There are too many of them. So if you're interested, you have to get down there soon. Okay, we'll start with that. Oh, here it is. The Release of the Spirit. A Living Sacrifice and the Release of the Spirit. I have not read either of these, but if it's in the boathouse, I'm sure it's safe. Number 116, white book. I will not forget thee.